Brain Darts are born. Introduction: How it all got started. My business partner Phil and I were sitting around one day rehashing the same issue we'd talked about many times before. How could we differentiate our advertising agency from all the others? Each time one of us came up with a point of difference, the other would name some agency that already had that same image. Dedication to creativity? Commitment to our clients? Emphasis on profits? We even went to see other agencies present themselves so we could get some idea of what to do and what not to do. In Florida, where we live and work, the Sunshine Law requires all business done with public money be done in the sunshine. In other words, company presentations made to win public contracts are open to the public. Taking advantage of the unique opportunity this statute offered, my partner and I flew to Tallahassee to watch various advertising agencies try to win the state's lottery, citrus, and tourism accounts. Great minds think alike. We found that every single agency we watched, no matter how large or how small, claimed to have exactly the same four strengths. 1. Breakthrough creativity. Each and every agency promised the folks in the audience that its shop would create ads designed to break through the clutter of the marketplace. But while some of the agencies did offer a fresh creative vision, most of them presented rather run-of-the-mill ideas. 2. Attention to detail. Every group talked about its commitment to mastering the fine points. 3 out of 4 even quoted the renowned international architect Le Corbusier with the words, quote, "God is in the details," end quote. 3. Proactive account service. All of the advertising agencies we saw promised to stay ahead of the curve, proactively recommending cutting-edge programs and ideas to their clients. 4. Media purchasing power. Finally, all of the presenters assured their prospective clients that media purchasing power, their ability to buy magazine and newspaper space and radio and TV time, was stronger than the clout of any of the other agencies that were competing for the same advertising assignments. Ironically enough, what these agencies failed to do for themselves was exactly what their clients paid them lots of money to do: differentiate their products and services from the myriad of look-alike, sound-alike choices out there. No matter how different they actually were, each of the advertising agencies looked and sounded almost exactly the same. So there we were, bouncing along in the 737 that was flying us home over the Gulf of Mexico after the presentations. Frustrated that we hadn't learned anything new or earth-shattering, I stared out the window at the endless blue sky and blue water and mumbled something about there having to be a good idea out there somewhere. But what is it? I should tell you that while I wasn't enjoying the turbulence much, my partner, who loves to fly, was almost giddy with glee. The way he looks at it, there's no other place you get to experience turbulence, so you should enjoy it as a rare treat. He also thinks that turbulence is what makes pilots earn their pay, and he liked knowing that he was getting the full value for his aviation dollar. Because I knew that my partner felt that way, I should have thought twice about asking him a serious question. But it was too late. I had already asked him what he thought we should do, and now my question was bouncing right along with us. My partner, doing his best Key Luke imitation, answered sagely, "The answer is in the question, Grasshopper. And when you can grasp the pebble from my palm, you can leave the temple." By the way, Key Luke was the actor who played Grandfather in the TV series Kung Fu. The answer is in the question. The answer is in the question. What in the world does that mean? Because I had no better suggestions to work with, I took Phil's sarcastic advice to heart. Back in our office, I decided to see if the answer was indeed in the question after all. So I went through our archives, gathered up a good sampling of 15 years of our work, and spread it out on our big black Italian conference table. Peering over a steaming cup of coffee at all those years of hard work, I tried to figure out exactly what made our work special. And kaboom! Lightning struck! What I found, standing there with years and years of our work laid out around us, was that the most successful campaigns we had produced, the ones that had garnered the most attention and sold the most products, were the ones with the simplest, most direct messages. And of all those great campaigns, the ones that did the best job selling our clients' products and had achieved stellar results were the ones that were instantly recognizable and memorable. It was a revelation. As I looked at the work and thought about what was becoming so obvious, I noticed another common trait in the group of very successful ads spread on the table. Those ads didn't focus on the product they were selling. Instead, they were clearly aimed at the person they were selling to. Excited and energized, I spent the next few weeks searching through archives of advertising and industry publications, cataloging the traits that I thought made for the strongest communications. The theory held.